Blog Talk Radio.
We're so glad you tuned in today to Straight Talk with Stan Macklin. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening on the horizon, and we just happen to be in the midst of some wonderful gentlemen today. We have with us Frank Jackson, who's one of the managing directors of ARM. We have Gamil Zilaya, who's a union worker, and my good friend Michael Snell Fikema. You've heard him on the radio. Many times he's been a guest host for me. And we're here having a conversation. We're talking about the poultry workers industry here in the Valley and an upcoming event that we're going to be working on and planning on. But I'm just going to give, by way of introduction, these brothers to you here. It's just wonderful to be able to come together. And we're excited because behold how good and how present it is for the brethren to dwell together. But we're excited about how we can bring attention to some of the concerns that are happening here in the poultry industry. And these men are committed to working on the national level, Frank Jackson with ARM, and he'll explain what that is and what it does. And then Michael and union leader Gamil, we're concerned. So, by way of introduction, we'll start first with Michael, who's, as I said, has been a frequent host on the program. And by way of new introduction again, he'll introduce himself and some of the things that we're talking about. And feel free, Michael, just to share.
Yeah. I'm basically a community activist involved in too many things at once, but then there's a lot going on these days around the country and here in the Shenandoah Valley. I've been involved for some time with the effort to organize the poultry workers in the Valley, and that's just something that has to be faced in the Valley here, that the poultry workers have been in the shadows, and people haven't really understood that they've been working under conditions that are just not acceptable, with very high rates of injury, and then when they get injured, their chances of getting any adequate compensation, either through workman's comp or any other source, is very low. And nobody should have to go to work and have to face those kinds of conditions. But that can be changed. And the workers in the Valley are coming together in order to make a change with that by organizing themselves and by speaking out to the public to get the support from the public that we know people will give if they know what's actually going on. If they direct their attention to what's happening to their fellow human beings in the Valley, that's the kind of thing that gets people acting, and we're trying to get people to become aware, and then to learn to act in order to support this effort.
Brothers and sisters, you know the poultry industry here, just in this Virginia economy, is a $13.7 billion industry, And to have such tremendous resources at the expense of poultry workers is not, it's inappropriate. It's not equality at all. It's as a matter of fact, it's just mere profit. But it should not be at the expense of human lives. You heard Michael talk about the cuts that they receive. You know, they have to make 20 cuts. And it's just amazing. We also have with us a union leader that's here with us, and he's helping. He's planning for a unique event that's coming up in our community in around the Thanksgiving season, and it's something that we all take for granted. That is our Thanksgiving dinner. We don't think about the tremendous effort that it goes behind to be able to get that meal from. Out of the industry factory to there to your dinner table. And he helps to see to it that the union workers have a voice and have an outlet so that their rights can be stood up for. And so we're going to give him opportunity and space to share. And then we'll come back again with Frank Jackson, who, as many of you know, as our international correspondent, who's also here in town on some other business. But at this time, Brother Camille.
Hello, good afternoon. This is Guillermo from UFCW Local 400. We are in an effort to help organize thousands of poultry workers here in the Valley. It's an effort that we have in order to better our community and to make sure that our children and future workers have a better treatment. And some of the profits that are made for these big corporations can stay here with the community. So that's just the beginning of what we have going on. And as Brother Stan said, we're planning for a big event. It's going to be for the entire community and an appreciation of the poultry workers and in all workers, but mainly to recognize turkeys that we're eating that day. We have to recognize what poultry workers went through in order for us to enjoy that dinner. Thank you.
And thank you, brother, for being sensitive enough to come. I know every time you come up here, you drive up here from Washington, D.C., and anybody that's aware of what's happening in the media today, especially the news that's coming out of D.C., that's a beast in itself. So we're glad that you find the time, take the time, make the time to come up here to the Shenandoah Valley to be with us. And it's just a joy to be able to sit down with you and Michael Snell Fikema to be planning. And we're concerned. We're activists who are really concerned about making a difference in our community. And we want to continue to do as such. Now, those of you who know Frank Jackson as our international correspondent, who is just stays on the hot button, he's also one of the managing directors of a new national group that was formed right here out of the Shenandoah Valley called ARMED. And he'll explain what that is and what that means. But this also is inclusive of situations like what the poultry workers face, but also about some of the things that's happening on the national stage. Why he's here in town today, it's unfortunate that you have to stay on top of these things, because if you don't, they get so out of control that there's no way you can get it back in control. So, Frank, glad to have you on the program today.
Stan, as always, as I have said so many times, I wouldn't have it any other way. It's always great to be here. And, you know, listening to these gentlemen talk, it just amazes me at how we sit down to eat turkey on Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas. And for the most part, we really don't put a lot of thought into what goes behind that. You know, people tend to think you go to a supermarket and that's the starting point for most people when it comes to a turkey. The supermarket is actually the starting point. And most people don't take it beyond that. But there is a beyond that, and that's where the workers are involved. And, you know, when you stop and think about it, an industry that brings $13 billion, or add to that amount of money to any, and it's almost $14 billion, but to add that amount of money to any one state, any single state, is, first of all, to add it to any nation is powerful. That's huge. But to add it just to the state of Virginia is absolutely mind-boggling. But, you know, the other side of it, there's the dark, ugly side of it, and that ugly side of it is the fact that people are being injured. People are receiving lifelong damage to their bodies, to their hands. And, you know, when I think about it, I guess I knew that because when we started talking, I think one of the things I said to Mike was, you know, there's a lot of hand damage, and we know that that happens. And, but you know, it behooves us to stop and think about that. And, you know, the fact that you're putting together, and I'd like to be a part of it, National Turkey Workers Appreciation Day. You know, we're always appreciating turkeys, but appreciating the workers is something that people need to think about. And so, you know, with that coming on, that coming up, I really appreciate the fact that, you know, you gentlemen have thought to do that. And, yeah, I'd like to be a part of it.
Now, Michael, you, I love you, brother, from the standpoint that you're able to connect the dots in this industry that a lot of people don't, they just don't connect. And could you explain some of that? You also, I've heard you in previous settings talk about a situation that happened in a plant in another city location. But many people just out of sight when it comes to this here. But he's able to connect the dots, and it makes sense once you listen to him. And from the depths of your heart, brother, share about some of those dots.
Well, you know, this is a year in which we have two presidential candidates that, well, in one way or another, are critical at this point of the whole free trade pact, constructed economy that we now have today. That really began with the North American Free Trade Act back in the 1990s. And I think that is looking at the relationship between that and the way in which work has changed in our country. First of all, there's less of it in terms of good-paying jobs. Secondly, the conditions at work are worse than they used to be. And thirdly, it's pretty rare for people to be represented by a union to work in an organized workplace. And the wages that were paid in the 1970s have not really gone up in terms of, if you take into account the increase in the cost of living and so on, they've stagnated since the 1970s. Now, why has this all happened? And, you know, it has to do with the way in which corporations, through these free trade pacts, were able to take advantage of differences in the vulnerability of workers in different parts of the world. They were able to take their factories and move them to Mexico and then eventually move them to China, where they could take advantage of workers who really didn't have proper labor rights, that had governments that basically were in league with the corporations. And I talked to people who lived in Ciudad Juarez, and they told me about how when they tried to organize a union, they got beaten up by thugs. And they said that when you try to organize a union in Ciudad Juarez or in Tijuana, you're going up against the government, because the government is in league with the corporations, the foreign corporations, and is ensuring them the cheap labor that they've moved their factories for. Well, there's some businesses that that have to be closer to their market, and one of those is the meatpacking industry. And so how do the corporations deal with this problem? Well, essentially what they do is bring labor here that they can more easily exploit. That's what's happened. And that's not the fault of the people that have come here, because the people that have come here, in many instances, were had been independent farmers in Mexico. But when the North American Free Trade Act was passed, that allowed for the import of subsidized, cheap American corn into Mexico. And the American farmers, with all the subsidies that they get from support from the government and so on, are able to make corn five times cheaper than the corn produced by the independent farmers, peasants, and indigenous communities in Mexico. Well, the result of that was that the North American Free Trade Act completely undermined the economy of the peasants in Mexico. They had no choice. People have to live. Their families have to eat. They have to survive. They were forced, many of them, to migrate to the north in order to live. And that was all the result of intentional policies on the part of our government that is captive to corporate interests. And those corporate interests write the rules of the global economy so that they are in their interest. So, you know, if you want to connect the dots for this, I mean, my feeling is that many of the people working in the plants and they're here in Shenandoah Valley, they come from all over. Some of them are from this area, but also some are from Mexico or Central America, others from Puerto Rico, others from Africa, from the Middle East. But they're all people that are vulnerable. And you know, I think it's one of the most basic principles of morality is that you don't take advantage of people's vulnerability, that you respect their humanity. And that just has not been happening. And it's not been happening partly because not just the policies of certain corporations, but the entire structure that the corporations and the politicians that serve them have constructed in the global economy. And right now, this year, President Obama is attempting to push the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, and he's planning on doing that during a lame duck session, which is probably the only time when he'd have a chance of getting it through, because the TPP is, some have called it the North American Free Trade Act on steroids. It's basically an attempt to create a structure where that kind of corporate-friendly political economy will be extended across the entire globe, including into the United States. And there's tremendous opposition to this on both the left and the right. It's not popular. People now understand what the consequences of this form of political economy is because they've lived it. All you have to do is go to some of the cities in the United States. Go to Detroit. Go to Cleveland. Go to Chillicothe, Ohio. The list is endless of the communities that have been devastated by these kinds of policies. So people have lived the consequences. They don't need to listen to the experts. They are experts on it because they're the ones that have suffered the consequences. So people are now, the cat's out of the bag, and people know that these are destructive and they're for the purposes of the 1% and the corporations. So it's really become unpopular. So how is Obama going to deal with this? I don't know why he feels so beholden to the corporations that he has to do this as part of his legacy. I don't get that. But I guess that's his secret. I can't see inside his soul. But he is so determined to do this that he is willing to do it during a lame duck session of Congress. And what that means, a lame duck session of Congress, is when you've got all the people who lost the election are still congressmen and they can pass laws. But the worst thing is that they're looking for a job. And who are they going to get their jobs from? They're going to get their jobs from the corporations that want these trade pacts put into effect because they favor their interests. And so if they want to leave Congress and go to a nice $1 million-a-year job, all they have to do is serve their interests of those corporations and the last chance that they have with no accountability from the people because they're done. And so this is an opportunity for systematic corruption as a way of passing a free trade pact that will restructure the political economy of a large part of the world. And, you know, if you look into that pact even further, some of the things that were started in the North American Free Trade Act are now being expanded through that pact. And one of them is something called Investor-State Dispute Resolution, which is basically a separate judicial system that is created in order to allow corporations to sue state, local, and federal governments whenever they feel that those governments have passed laws or taken actions that that undermine their expected profits. So they can sue these governments in a special tribunal consisting of corporate lawyers who alternate between suing governments and being on this tribunal. There's no appeal. There's no conflict of interest rules. This is setting up a separate judicial system for the benefit of foreign corporations. And U.S. corporations could use them if they have subsidiaries that act as foreign corporations. So there have been, there's been a letter sent out about this by 200 top jurists and economists, many of them big proponents of free trade. But they have said that President Obama, that we cannot accept the TPP as long as it has those clauses in it having to do with this separate judicial system, because it would undermine the foundations of the legal system of the United States. This is a very serious matter. And you know, given that the people of the United States have woken up, they need to speak out and make their voice heard. I was down at the White House yesterday, and I was there for another reason. I was protesting the Dakota Access Pipeline and supporting the Native Americans who come together to an amazing degree in order to nonviolently resist this pipeline. And while I was there, I was standing over next to the White House lawn, and I thought, well, we've been doing all this protesting, telling Obama not to to let this pipeline be built. I guess we're having a conversation with him. So all of a sudden I went over there and started talking to him about the TPP because he needs to hear about that as well. And, you know, it all sounds very abstract and bloodless, and it's as boring as an insurance policy, if you've ever read those. But it has real consequences for real people, all kinds of blood on that paper and ink. And so this is an issue I really urge you to pay attention to. And in terms of connecting the dots, this kind of political economy weakens labor at the expense of capital. And you, most of the people I think talking to here are connected to labor, not to capital. I'm not sure much of the people connected to capital listen to this program. So you folks that are connected to labor in one way or another, this is your fight, and you need to get involved in it on every level.
Didn't I tell that brother how to connect the dots? I mean, he's an expert when it comes to this here. We're so glad to be able to have him. And from time to time, we're glad that he's able to be a host here on Straight Talk, because that's what you get from Brother Michael, Straight Talk. And Brother Gamero, we're just so glad that you were able to come up here. And as a union rep, you're originally from El Salvador. You've been here 20-some-odd years.
Almost 30 years.
Tell us... we don't have too much time, but what are just some of your expectations in about a minute? And we want to just tell our technician, you might as well just title this program called The Poultry Crisis, The Crisis in the Poultry Industry.
Well, the crisis in the poultry industry, that you got me in there, is so many things that we need to fix. We were talking. Yes, well, the first step is here, coming to town and knock on doors and say, we're here, you're the union, we're going to help you build it to make this community better, to make these poultry workers work in a better environment and be treated in a humane way, because in many reasons, the poultry is treated better than the workers. And there is a lot of things. We've got a lot to go. We've got a lot to fix, and we're here to do that. And it's not going to be overnight, but it's a long-term vision and goal that we have.
Well, we're so wonderful. And, Frank, we're going to let you bring this on home. We've heard a lot. Our hearts have been stirred. And I'm sure you, on a national level, you can take this back with you. But just tell us something about what you're here for and what you hope to do after hearing all this here. Good news.
One of the things that, yeah, but with all due respect, first of all, Guillermo, that
you know, that's really strong that these people are going through that. And, you know, the fact that the union is involved. Stan, do you mind if I ask him, how are you helping the individuals who, the individual workers? Because, you know, somehow I got really concerned when I heard Michael talking. And this really comes down to some workers being injured and damaged and hurt in so many ways. But then you said something that really struck a nerve with me. You said in some cases the turkeys are being treated better than the humans. That struck a nerve with me. Stan, is it okay if I ask him how you're actually helping the people as individual workers?
Right now we have not, we don't have in a specific way of helping, but educating them to be coming together and becoming a union workplace. That way they're going to have a voice at work, because now there is no voice at work. They cannot voice what they're hurt. If they say, I got hurt at my job, they can get fired. And we're educating the community in general and workers about their rights so they can have a voice at work. Once we do that, we're going to have a union and they're going to be better off.
See, it sounds like that's where we need to really start working, on protecting the rights and the human rights of the actual workers. It's really great to be back here in the state, the great state, if you will, of Virginia, here representing ARMED. That's A-R-M-E-D. ARMED is an acronym that stands for Americans Resisting Minority and Ethnic Discrimination. And, you know, when we talk about minority and ethnic, you know, first thing some people think is, oh, this is another carbon copy of the NAACP or SCLC. But actually, when we talk about minority and ethnic, we're talking about representing a lot of people, starting with the word America, Americans representing. This isn't just about the Americans in the U.S., but we talked about all of the Americas, Central America, South America, right here in the United States of America. We're talking all of the Americas, and we're also talking about all minorities who are being discriminated against, not just racially, not just some minorities, but all minorities who are being discriminated against. And when we talk about ethnic, we're talking about ethnicity. Some people are being discriminated against simply because of where they were born. Now, I do know the time is short, and Stan, you know, I'm always, this is an open door for me, so I can always come back on and pick up the pieces very quickly. I'm here in town because we've got an ARMED meeting going on. We're strategizing for how we're going to be attacking the issues that are around the country and some outside the country. And so I'm going to give it back to you, Stan, so you can go ahead and wrap the show up.
Well, I just want to thank each of you gentlemen for being on the program today. I know that me in my usual way, I'm about empowerment, and I empowered you today to empower others. So we thank you for that. You've been listening to Straight Talk with Stan Macklin and my wonderful guests. And remember, whatever you're going through, don't worry about it. It's not the outlook, but the uplook. Have a beautiful day, and remember that the best is yet to come.